Next, we are going to turn over to Building Bridges for America. This is a partner that we work with, not a vendor, but a partner doing great work throughout. I'm going to let them tell you about it. This is Wesley Edwards. So, Wes?
First of all, apologize for the video lockout, but tech troubles will happen. Yep, my name is Wes Edwards, and I appreciate everybody's attention and time this morning. I want to represent this morning Building Bridges for America Action Fund, which is an all-volunteer grassroots group that works for democracy and civic engagement around the U.S. We're organizers who work with organizers, grassroots to build civic engagement and inclusive democracy. We offer a lot of training and a lot of programs and volunteer opportunities to help people get engaged in the belief that everybody matters and that we need everybody and everybody belongs in our democracy. Democracy works best when people are engaged and the electorate actually looks like the country as a whole. So we're looking in 2024 to reach everybody and to make sure that we don't leave anybody behind. And that's why I'm going to talk to you about two key groups. And can you see my, if I share my screen?
You should be able to share. Go ahead. Try it. We got it.
Okay. Let me just quickly go through some of what we work on, and this will help you get a flavor of what we do. We don't have a long time, and if you'd like to follow up later, check us out on email and everything, and buildingbridgesforamerica.com to have a longer one-on-one chat or a small group to go over this material. But what I want to do is make sure that by the time you leave, that you know that we are leaving a couple of people out of our GOTV work. Typically, our conventional GOTV work misses about 1 to 3% of voters. And I want you to leave, this quick presentation knowing who they are, how they got there, and what we can do to reach them so that we have everybody in the fold in 2024. And I want to leave you in particular with two critical tools that I want to make sure that go into your get out the vote toolbox and what you as an individual are doing, what your group is doing. And then if time allows, take some questions. This is what we mean by going global, reaching this 1 to 3% of voters that we miss. About 4 million people. I want you to underline that number, 4 million people. Very large, very diverse population, many young and first-time voters, many BIPOC voters, rural voters, people that would be first-time swing state voters, and critical state voters from states where we need everybody to turn out if we expect to win. Our current GOTV assumes two things that anybody who's worked on a campaign sort of knows and understands, which is voters live where they vote and they vote where they live. And the second thing is the voter file tells you all you need to know. However, for both of those assumptions are false for 1 to 3% of Americans, at least. We know that's not true. And in fact, let me take you on a brief history tour to the 1980s when Congress, very different, it knew this as well. Back in the 1980s, it seems like a very, very long time ago, when there was a bipartisan consensus around protecting voting rights rather than rescinding and reversing them. Congress passed several pieces of legislation in that period between 1982 and 1992, including extending the Voting Rights Act a couple of times, renewing it, and offering some new protections for voting rights. Those two people on your screen there, Ronald Reagan on the left there and Tip O'Neill on the right. One was a Republican president, the other was the very liberal Speaker of the House. They got together to pass compromise legislation. One of the things they did was pass a piece of legislation in the interest of protecting those who vote away from home, protecting voting rights of people who are outside their home jurisdiction. What they understood, and what many bipartisan members of Congress understood, is that some people can't simply go down to their fire station or the middle school or the community center and vote, because their life journey has taken them away from their home jurisdiction. They have been called away as people who are in military families, in military service. They have been called away as civilians who are outside the United States for any number of reasons, any particular reason. They live, work, study, or serve outside the United States. And what Congress said, and what I believe, and what Building Bridges believes, is that you don't lose your voting rights when you step outside the country. And you shouldn't lose your voting rights when you step outside the country, nor should you lose your voting rights when you put on a uniform in service to our country. In fact, Congress created special provisions, federal law provisions, that means applicable to every state, that created special absentee ballots for this group of people, these two separate groups, to vote from wherever they are. And I want to be very clear that this terminology is sometimes misleading, or we sort of go through it very fast and think that we're talking just about people who are overseas. We're not talking about just about people who are overseas, and we're not talking about our military who are overseas. We're talking about every military family who is stationed away from their home base. Everybody who is on military active duty and their family members who are stationed away from where they began their journey in enlisting service, if they have not officially changed their voting registration in the U.S. or abroad. That means if you began in Nevada and entered military service, and they send you in the Air Force to Colorado, you are a Nevada voter in Colorado. The same is true as if you were overseas. If they send you overseas, you are also eligible to vote in your home state by sending your vote home. And that is a very important concept that we need to take particular interest and refocus what Congress did in the 1980s to vindicate those voting rights, to protect these voters. This is the work of voter protection. It means that everybody is included. We cannot leave 4 million voters out of our reach. We can't leave this many apples on the tree. And here's what it looks like. 4 million people were eligible to vote by these special absentee ballots in 2022. Over 4 million people. And you can see they are spread throughout our country. The darker shade shows you their higher proportion of voters in this category. Over 159,000 in Georgia, a state that was decided by under 12,000 votes. 150,000 in North Carolina, a state that will be extremely close this year. Arizona, over 100,000 eligible to vote this way. How many actually voted that way in 2020? Under 20%. And in most states, well under 20%. And this is simply unacceptable. You see how light the shading is in Georgia. You see how light the shading is in Arizona. They're indicating that the number is much lighter in those states than in states like Washington or Colorado or Florida. The good side of that is that there is room for growth. These special absentee ballots are available, and this is a critical point that I want you to understand, in addition to using the tools that I want to give you. People away from home, that is people who go into military service and serve their country, people who are in the diplomatic corps who are away from their home, they're not voting because they're not interested in voting. They're not voting because nobody asks them to vote. They don't know they can vote. They deserve better than that. And they don't vote, and nobody asked them to vote because there is a serious deficit of civic education. Simply, but they will vote if somebody asks. But in order to ask, we have to remedy this deficit. We have to understand that these ballots exist, that these voters exist, and that our data file, our current mechanism for reaching voters, reaches only 97% of the pool of voters. It's like making a cake and putting in only 97% of the ingredients. If you leave out the 3%, your cake is not going to do. That 3% is your salt or your baking soda or whatever. It's going to make it go. We can't leave them out.
Wes, let me jump in for one sec because I think you might have some more time, but I want to make sure we have time for questions if we need it.
Okay.
Our next sponsor is scheduled to be Target Smart. I think they had an issue and can't be here. If you're from Target Smart, put something in the chat. We'll make sure you get in. And Wes, if they don't, then you got a few extra minutes and we can certainly keep going. Then we've got a gap until 10:15 and you've got time. So go ahead.
Okay, well, let me just wrap up and then we can go to questions. And again, I'm sorry about my video, but I can audio it. The main thing is, and what I want to leave you with is I want to put the two tools in your toolbox for whatever campaign you're working on, whatever postcarding group. I want you to understand that if you are writing 100 postcards, three of them aren't going to get to the voter that you're intending to get. Not because it's a bad address, but because the person at that address in the voter file doesn't live where they vote and doesn't vote where they live. Consider Kamala Harris when she was a young person as an example. She was her mother got a job in Montreal, so her first time voting was not in California, it was in Canada. She had to register and vote in Canada. The only way she knew that was because her mother happened to be a very serious voting rights activist. We have to reach these people, and I'm putting these two, the top two sites here, are everything you need, everything your voter team needs, everything your get out the vote team needs to reach these voters. If we can connect these top two sites with that 1 to 3%, imagine of voters who are left out, we will draw more voters than we had in 2020. Net plus all the way around in every state and every congressional district. So what I want you to do right now is go to FVA, pick up your phone or your computer, put those two in your bookmarks, those two sites, and begin to integrate those two sites, FVAP.gov for military households, and this includes Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, and their family members with them. And any civilians abroad, go to votefromabroad.org. Not only can you register, those actually give you the ballot information at those sites. Those are the official places anybody can use, any state, to not just register, but request your ballot. And the secret is you can do it at the same time. And you can do it today. So if you have a niece on study abroad, if you have a family member on in the Coast Guard, you can call them today, send them that site. They can fill in a form on that site and have their ballot requested for the November election. And if that's not a good way to end this conversation, I don't know what is. So anyway, let me just invite you to go to our website for more information and to contact us. I'm glad to talk to you one-on-one and to take a couple of questions.
Thank you, Wes. One of the at Field Team Six, we do a lot of thinking about who are we not reaching, not just because we didn't send enough texts, but what are the decisions we just naturally are making that are not working for certain groups? And building bridges is one of those that really helps to highlight that. And throughout the summit, we try to highlight that. You'll see a couple organizations that are kind of thinking about the same thing. We have a panel later on making democracy accessible, in an attempt to sort of elevate the ways in which we just naturally make decisions that may be not reaching to underrepresented groups. One of our sponsors today is Democrats from Abroad, which ties in nicely to what Wes is talking about. Dems Abroad is the organization, kind of like the state Democratic Association for everyone who lives outside the states. They'll be presenting in Vanderbilt at 12:15 today. 12:15 today. They're also the sponsor of our Meet the Candidates panel, and I hope you'll get a chance to hear from them. And they'll reinforce a lot of the importance of these issues and what Wes is talking about. Let's do a question. So, Wes, you see that? How do you reach these voters? Do you do any outreach directly to them? And what's the best ways to get in touch with them?
Well, at Building Bridges, we start with that voter file I mentioned because we want to start with those who have already voted and make sure that we reach those who have in the past cast the 20% that have cast their ballots, who may have cast their ballots by absentee in a prior election. So we do direct voter contact. That is only one of the strategies we use, though. We have to go with a multi-pronged strategy. One of the most important ones is, as I mentioned, relational. So I think if you all think about, and we do have courses to teach this, everybody knows somebody in this category. You know somebody who is on study abroad this year. You know somebody who maybe you have a family member who has retired to Costa Rica, or you have a your old neighbor has is on sabbatical in Spain or what have you. The first thing we want to do is to put this information, what we call the ABCs, into the toolbox so that every postcarding group has it and begins to integrate this into their strategy. One thing I would encourage you to do is make sure it's on your website. Make sure it's on your team's website, because I can tell you that even most candidates don't know this information. So even if somebody in this category comes looking for the information on how to vote and goes to the Smith County Democratic Party, they're not going to find what they need. We can remedy that very easily, and that's those two things are going to go a huge way. Make sure this is in the back pocket of everybody who's on Get Out the Vote work this year, and that's going to be thousands of people. If each of them reaches one person, that's a net plus from what we did in 2020.
Thank you, Wes.